Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
143,000 cars were clamped in this country last year. Are you one of those? Have you ever thought about appealing a clamping fine? Well, of those who did, one quarter actually managed to have a successful appeal. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Our own Padraig Wilson-McCarthy is with me here in studio today because you've had your own clamping experience recently.
I'm appalled to think that I'm not one of the quarter. Because I've appealed mine so many times and
you've appealed them so many times. So that means you've been clamped on multiple occasions.
Maybe I'm the problem here. I went through a period of time there, Andrew, when I was maybe at the start of the year where I found myself being clamped. I think maybe in the space of 8 weeks, I was clamped 3 times.
Stop. How?
And look, I will admit some of them were my own fault, right? You know, there was one time I got out of the car, I was paying by the app. I didn't go through with the payment. It didn't work. That was my own fault. Another time I was parked in the wrong space. But one time in particular, I was parked, I was off street. I was in a car park that was run by one of these companies. And I was actually driving my dad's car at the time because my car was broken down and he lent me his for a while and that was fine. And but I had to download this app, this particular app, which was an archaic app, right? And then I had to enter all my details. I was in a rush anyway. I entered the details because it wasn't my car. I wasn't familiar with the registration plate. I put the wrong digit in. Oh. The very last digit of the registration plate was wrong. When I got back to the car, the man was just putting the clamp on. I went over immediately. I was like, look, I've paid for this parking.
I just did the wrong digit.
I just did the wrong digit. Wasn't hearing any of it. And I was like, you haven't even put the clamp on yet. Can you not just, is there any lenience here? And he's like, absolutely not.
Nothing.
So that one in particular boiled my blood because I was like, it was a genuine human error. Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. Yeah. I actually had paid, the payment had gone through. I just had the wrong number by one digit. And I got nowhere with it. I appealed with APCO, the company that were that clamped me at the time. They didn't want to hear anything from me. So I escalated. A lot of people told me to escalate it to the National Transport Authority, which I did. And it's funny because I put it up on my Instagram when it happened and a lot of people said the exact same thing happened to them and they were given their money back, and then equally loads of people said that they'd done the same thing and they weren't given their money back. And so I escalated it, I appealed it, and they told me no, that it was my own fault, so I didn't get my money back on that occasion.
Well, 21,000 people appealed to the National Transport Authority for kind of that first stage clamping appeal. 24% were allowed, and then of the second stage appeal there was about 4,058 and around 46% were allowed and a refund of the clamping fee.
Yeah, they don't make it easy, and I'm assuming that's a filtering system or it's to deter people from trying.
Well, I'm sure they'll say not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course they won't. There's a statement there now that I've made, but you know what I mean? Like, because it's not an easy process, and it's quite a lengthy process, and you could be waiting a long time to get any response at all.
Kate is with us. Kate, I believe you witnessed your own experience of clamping recently.
Oh, yeah, it was just terrible. Hi, Andre.
How are you
doing?
Good
to talk to you. I always enjoy your program. Well, actually, I'm very happy to be able to talk about what I witnessed. So on the 18th of March this year, I had to drive a family member who had a disability up to the Afida in Dundrum for an MRI scan. So I just parked like nearby, so when he came out, he wouldn't have far to walk. And then shortly after I was there, another car pulled up and went into the disabled car parking space. There are two just adjacent to the clinic. And I saw this very, very fragile elderly lady getting out of the car, and she was on a crutch. And I was worried about her because she didn't look very, strong, getting out of her car. And I asked her, are you okay? Do you need assistance? And she said, no, I'm fine. And off she went. About 5 months later, I saw the clamper van coming into the area. And he came over to me, first of all, knocked at the window and said, you shouldn't be here. I said, look, I'm just waiting for somebody. He should be out shortly. And he was quite angry, the man. He said, the amount of people parking illegally around here. And then he pointed to the woman's car and he said to me, that person over there, they have a disc on their car, but it's out of date. And I said to him, oh my goodness, I said, I saw that woman going into the clinic. I said, please don't go near her car. She's a very elderly lady. I said, she was on a crutch. I said, God knows what treatment she's going in for, or, you know, how traumatized she could be or how worried. Anyway, he went ahead and he clamped her. And Andrea, when I say I was angry, so when my person, the person who I was driving, came back into my car, I went into the clinic and I found the woman and I sat down beside her and I was really anxious about how I was going to explain to her, you know, what was happening. So I told her that her car had been clamped. She got so upset. She said, but it couldn't be. I have a disc. And I said to her, look, the clamper said your disc is out of date. And I said to her, can I call anybody? No, she said, what do you mean it's out of date? I didn't know you had to. Do you have to renew it? She was totally panicked, the woman. Now, you have to remember, she's ready to go in for an MRI.
Well, fair play to you, Kate, for actually waiting, you know, and going in yourself.
The point I want to make here. I would have paid for her, but money didn't seem to be the issue. I said, can I phone a family member for you? Have you anybody nearby?
Yeah.
She said she had two people. One was in Europe, one was somewhere in the country. So we managed to call a family member who was not too far outside Dublin. And before I left, I went up to the two people at reception and I said to them, would you keep an eye on that woman? Explained what had happened. Now, my point is this. Like, Andrea, we're meant to be a society. And I think sometimes we forget. We're like a bank. Everything has to be paid for. Everything has to be on the line. And my word is, however, if we want to live in a society and a wealthy society, we need the however. When it comes particularly dealing with vulnerable people, disabled people, you know, all the society people who need that extra bit of support. So what I was thinking was, why couldn't the clampers have put some kind of a little sticker on her car to say your disc is out of date, you have 3 weeks to renew or else the next time you will be penalised.
Some little bit of leniency.
Well, it's like, I don't know if leniency is the right word. It's about being like having a humanitarian society.
Well, a bit of
that
compassion.
We care about people.
Yeah.
Like, if you think of the consequences, because that's the way I always feel.
Yeah.
For every action, there's a consequence. That woman that day was in there, vulnerable already, on a crutch, on her own, maybe waiting for awful news, maybe frightened of going into an MRI machine. I don't know. I never saw the woman before or since. But if you think of that scenario of how vulnerable this woman is, and if I hadn't even broken the ice for her, she would have come out maybe dreading what doctor was going to tell her whenever she saw her doctor, and her car is clamped.
I know.
And I think and it's this just woman was well into her late 80s.
Yeah. And like, you'd wonder, and maybe Shane O'Donoghue, who's the editor of CompleteCar.ie, is with us on the line today. Like, Shane, like the scenario that Kate has painted for us, had that woman have lodged an appeal, would it be upheld?
Hi, Andrea. I don't know. I don't know if it would have been, to be honest. I mean, I 100% agree with your caller there in terms of why can't there be a bit more compassion and leniency in situations like that. It just feels like we're hearing loads of stories like this. It just feels like the people who are doing the clamping sometimes have lost all sense of what being decent is. And I presume they're up against targets. I presume they're incentivized. It's just a horrendous situation. And it shouldn't be like that.
Definitely not. And like, I suppose, to be fair to those that are, you know, that are working for any of the clamping companies and maybe some of them listening to us today, you know, they'll say, look, they have a job to do. They have to follow their rules that are set out by the company. And sure, what else can they do? Like,
well, okay, I mean, that's a defence side behind being decent, really, I feel.
I know.
But anyway, in terms of appealing, I mean, that lady, if she was as frail as described, you know, she might have found the process of appealing quite onerous anyway. Because you mentioned at the top, actually, there's a two-stage process. And the first stage isn't to the NTA. I think it's worth making sure the listeners know that. The first stage is to the clamping operator. So whoever actually puts the clamp on your car, they are the people that you first of all appeal
to.
Process, yeah, and the process for that will be on your receipt for paying, because that's another key point. You actually have to pay for the clamp to be taken off before you can appeal. So there's no discussion there. They won't even entertain an appeal until the clamp has been paid to be taken off.
And then in the second instance, if you want to go to the second stage appeal, that's where you go via the NTA.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah. There's a second stage appeal, and the NTA basically has oversight, and the NTA also sets out the rules and regulations for the clamping operators. So, you know, fewer people have to go for that, but that is what's the last resort, if you like.
Well, it's Kate. Look, thank you for getting in touch and sharing that story with us today. And I like it's in fair play, as I said, to you for actually taking the time and spending that time going in to tell the elderly lady what had happened and explain all of that to her, because there's many more that wouldn't. Padraig Wilson McCarthy is just still with me briefly on this. You'll appeal again, I take it, if you're in the unfortunate.
Absolutely. Look, there's grounds for clamping someone like me who makes a mistake, a genuine error, and I'll hold my hands up. But in a situation like that, often it's outside medical facilities where people are vulnerable, and I just think there is grounds for compassion there. Like, why can't, like the caller said there, put a sticker on the car, or, you know, otherwise, look, fine me all you want, but put a clamp on my car, delaying my day by a couple of hours, that's the problem. Then you have to wait for someone to come out. It can take them hours. I mean, no one knows where you need to be or what you need to be doing that day.
Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if you want to share your own story. Padraig Wilson McCarthy, Kate, thanks a million for getting in touch. Shane O'Donoghue there, editor of completecar.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.